I've done, can you carry me? When I'm losing my mind, can you hold me? If I'm hazy blue, can you help me?
Can you help me?
Feeling down, can you feel me? When I'm running low,
I'm the happiest girl in the whole USA. Shine on me, shine on me, walk with me, world. It's a skip-a-day-doo-da-day. Oh, yeah. Welcome back to the Awakening Wave Show, where we are riding the wave of transformation through the ascension cycle. I always wanted to sing on the radio, and I just did. Oh, yeah, we are on the radio. Cool. 1972, Donna Fargo. I do believe I was 11 years old on this planet at that time. It's a great tune, a good country tune. And that's how I've been feeling all day today. Got outside, did a little nature walk, did my exercise, and it's just been a beautiful day. We had about, 6 to 7 inches of snow yesterday, and it was nonstop. That's the best kind. It's very adventurous when you're out there. Okay, so we have a great lineup today joining with us. Ellen and Sean from Across the Ocean, they joined us a while back on, I do believe it was either the first or second show. But before we get into the show, I would like to start out with a review of the Nano Ogis product, which is a product that a lot of you know of. I've been using it for quite some time. And during the winter season, I have to say this all-season nasal support spray has been amazing. I've been experiencing a lot of dryness, and here in North America, it gets like that in the wintertime. And lately, some headaches, and I'm not sure where those are coming from, but this stuff is awesome. It's only $21 on the website. If you go to the website, www.nanoogis.net, you can get 15% off with the code AwakeningWave63. And the other two products that I use is the Multifunctional Repair Spray and the wellness spray. And some of the enhancing immune health and longevity things that it does for you, such as modulates the immune system, reduces inflammation and pain. And as someone that works out a lot, I love it. It really helps with that, along with stretching and a good sauna every now and then. It improves longevity, reverses aging, serves as a vitamin D and vitamin C substitute, assists with cardiovascular health, enhances wound healing. So if you have any scars, any cuts, or even blemishes, you take the skin spray, spray it right on there. It takes it right away. I have actually used it. As I mentioned, I had a little blemish on my derriere a couple weeks ago. Bam, gone. Little spray gone. It improves the energy level, repairs damaged blood vessel and scar tissue. So I recently noticed a little bump on the heel of my foot, and I'm like, what is this? And I took the skin spray, and I sprayed it on there, and within 2 days, it just dissipated. So great product. Check it out. When you go to the website, there are links to review testimonials, and there is also a Learn tab where you can learn more about the evolution of the product. It is also known in three different categories of magic Daiko. Some of you might know it as NanoSoma, but I am affiliated with the Nano Ogis. So to get the 15% off, please use the Awakening Wave 63 code for the discount. Now, and I think after the first of the year, I will have Natasha and Stephanie from Nano Ogis on the show. We haven't narrowed down a date as of yet, but that is coming soon. All right. I have some updates that I would like to share with everyone in regard to the homestead. If any of you were listening last week, I did talk with Q in regard to the process that took place here in my county. And I didn't mention on the radio that I did send in a complaint to the Attorney General. So I don't know if getting that phone call at 4:45 on Friday might have been the result of that. I have yet to receive any response from the Attorney General, but I was bound and determined to get that document filed. So we also, our team over here in Michigan, we work independently, but we are still working together. We use the 8.5 by 14 legal documents for our documents when we are filing them because it is a legal size paper. So just an FYI. We've also, when I first started doing the homestead, I had a little anxiety issue with the documents that were on the homestead's page in regard to the redaction. I'm like, oh my gosh, how am I going to put these documents together? I was just like procrastinating. But I just realized that the two different computers that I have kind of also added that to that anxiety. So we have started using Google Docs, and it really is so easy to create a document, and then you can share it and you can change information. You can also put restrictions on it. So when you do send it, you can send it as a PDF or a Word document. So just some tools there for all of you that are working on the homestead projects. Okay. So I also would like to invite anyone in the Michigan area that if you are doing this and would like to share information or have questions, please use this radio station as a platform for that. And the email address is awakeningwavecr@gmail.com. Again, that's awakeningwavecr@gmail.com. So I know there are a few people way up north that are having a little bit of an issue getting started. One in particular, and I am going to reach out to her when I have some free time. So, So any questions, anything you want to share, challenges, experiences, and you want to collaborate, we're here for you, okay? Working together, loving together, and being in our most highest excitement. Love it. Okay, so coming up on the 14th of December, dun, 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 dun. Yes, I have Lucia Nicola Evans and our lovely Margie Barbier, and they will be coming on to share information in regard to the creation of their retreat magic. And I, for one, want to say, please, please tune in for this show because I have been on one of the retreats, and so have two of the guests that I am having on today have been there also. And it is amazing. I had a spiritual transformation and I am going back to the next one. And all I can say is the ocean, the palm trees, the birds, the love, the unconditional love. It is definitely a feeling of new earth. So please join us for that show on December 14th. And if you would like to know a little bit more about the Retreat Magic, they do have a website. It is https://LuciaNicolaEvans.com. Okay. So beautiful people, love them. And I'm looking forward to the collaboration. Okay. Moving on into today's show, we are going to talk about Australia ley lines and portals. Okay. And I just, before we get started, Sean and Ellen, are you guys there?
Yeah.
Okay, there's Sean. How about Ellen?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, hi, hey. Honey. So glad you were able to join us. I'm gonna share a story first before we get started. Okay, so over the holidays, I went downtown to a family member's gathering for the holiday. And as I was driving, I saw this really odd circle off to the right. And I'm like, what the heck is that? And it was just very eerie, gave me an eerie feeling. So I did a little research. I went back down there yesterday and got some pictures of it. And it is supposedly a piece of art. And it was put there by the MCPAI group, which is the Muskegon City Public Art Initiative. And the name of the art piece is Portal. Okay, so for those of you that don't know what a portal is, it is a doorway, a gateway, another entrance, especially a large and imposing one. And this one was very large. And from what I've read about it, and I'll read the article real quick, the Muskegon City Public Art Association announced today it is planning and developing its eighth project. This is one designed to overlook the city of Muskegon's Shoreline Drive. The MCPAI was established in July of 2018 to develop and oversee the commission of 10 monumental works of public art. The MCPAI is a project of Community Foundation for the Muskegon area. In the portal is being created by Muskegon artists, and the article says Lee S. Brown. It will be a 45-foot circle of court and steel lit on the inner band from dusk to dawn and installed in a beautiful and soft rolling hills between Shoreline Drive and Shoreline Inn. Installation is planned for September of 2024. The city of Muskegon is also exploring the possibility of expanding the bike pedestrian pathway to include a hard surface trail up to and through the sculpture. Whoa! In addition, Michigan's Edge Adventure Bike Association is investing the feasibility of developing an urban bike park in that area, which is a beautiful idea, but to me, a portal and what I know of them, it didn't feel right when I was passing it. And we'll get into that a little bit more. So we're going to start out with ley lines, which were originally introduced by Alfred Watkins, early 20th century, 1921. He gave birth to this theory. Now, I do believe he is a scientist. So, again, we don't know how factual this is, and this is just coming from another person, their views, their theory. And according to Alfred, the ley lines are hypothetical lines that connect to ancient sites, forming a mysterious network across our planet Earth. It is a conduit of channels of energy that link ancient sites together in regard to his theory. We, on the other hand, know more about the ley lines in present day. And so the two ladies that are joining me today, they, I do believe, originated their birthplace was Australia. And so they know a lot about the country. And I do believe, Ellen, you grew up there in your childhood. It was your early childhood. Is that correct?
Yeah, I was born in a city south of Sydney called Wollongong and was there until my 26th year. And yeah, so I spent all of my childhood there and my younger years.
Okay. And Ellen, Sean, what is your background with Australia?
Yeah, so similar to Ellen, I was born in the north in Darwin, so where the crocs and kangaroos are, kind of near the outback. And I spent my childhood and my high school years in Darwin. I've also lived in other parts of Australia. And I left Australia in my early 30s. So I spent a significant time in the country.
Wow, that's amazing. The only thing I know about Australia myself is I saw the movie with Hugh Jackman and Nicole Kidman. And I think I must have watched the movie like four or five times because I just loved, I loved the beauty of the country. It was just so beautiful. And the movie was just, I don't know, there was just something about the movie that captured my attention. And, you know, it was one of those where you watch it again and again until you just, okay, well, it's been a while now, so maybe I'll watch it again sometime soon here in the near future. Who knows? So what brought me to this topic is I recently came across, I think, yeah, Sean, you shared I do believe it was a video of a lady by the name of Rachel Vaughn. And she is a survivor of a Freemason cult, okay? And she is telling her story now. We won't go into details of the background of her family lines, but I do believe it is part of the Freemason and some very dark stuff in her world as a child. And she is now, I think she's in her 30s, and she is sharing her story and talking about a cold case that happened years ago, 1966, with the Beaumont children, which kind of struck me as very interesting. And I did look into it. But again, to this day, it is a cold case and nobody really has any real facts as of yet that I know of in regard to what happened to those children. But on that note, she has a website where she is sharing, getting a group of people together to go out to the ley lines and sing to bring positive energies to the ley lines. And, you know, I don't know much about the ley lines, but I do know that the earth has already ascended. And I do believe the earth pretty much takes care of itself. And as I was walking outside today, I was trying to look because Rachel says that it's very easy to spot the ley lines and that you can where there's, I do believe where plants and trees cannot grow is where you can spot them. Is that correct from your knowing? Any of you speak up. Don't be shy now, girls. Come on.
Well, in terms of looking at Australia, I would say what I know now and from listening to a lot of information and coming more online with this, looking back into my childhood, I do remember a lot of these stone circles or these circular structures where trees were growing around them. They were very often, I remember from when I lived there, very often playing fields, or there would be scrub and trees, and then there would suddenly be a clearing. So it was very normal, in fact. But as a child in Australia, you're never taught this. You're never taught anything actually about the land in school and the truth of it all. So we're just, you know, walking around with amnesia in these places most of the time, not really realizing that, yeah, you might often be, you know, crossing ley lines or in a portal area without even knowing it. But in hindsight, I do remember a lot of these Bora circles, these stone areas that she does talk about.
Oh, okay. Well, how about you, Sean?
Yeah, so I grew up in Darwin, and we, you know, just at my school, I went to school with a lot of Aboriginal or Indigenous kids. We didn't, similar to you, we didn't learn about the land in that regard. We learned a lot about sort of bush tucker, Indigenous culture, because it was, we were surrounded by it, and we learned a lot about Dreamtime stories. But even when we learnt about Dreamtime stories, and for example, one of them was, say, Tiddalik the Frog, and a lot of Australians would probably know that story that I'm referring to. But we never, in my memory of school, learnt specifically about ley lines or what they would refer to. Is my understanding they're calling them song lines would be the correct term. They have different names, though. Like, I'm of Asian heritage, and my granddad used to tell me stories about dragons and dragon lines and link that to feng shui. So as a kid, though, growing up, I, similar to Ellen, I remember clearings. I also remember contorted or twisted trunks of trees that would almost warp around, you know, certain areas. Now, I wouldn't be aware that they were creating circles, but I did find it quite peculiar in terms of how a tree would grow and contort itself. It never kind of made sense to me. What about you, Robin? Did you, where you grew up, experience anything
well
like this? Is it consistent?
No, I didn't really. Yeah, I'm same with you. We didn't learn a lot about the land and stuff in school, although I was always looking out the window. I never paid attention to what the teacher was saying. That's probably why I didn't do so well in school, especially English. I'm not an English person. I hated that class. But I will say that I have been kind of researching some stuff. And the Indians, wasn't there a connection when they would do their ceremony dances with the spirits in, you know, around the ley lines, and that sometimes the spirits would stay there? Positive ones, and it would go generation after generation. Have you guys heard anything in regard to that?
No? Well, I'm not familiar with the United States and that area in terms of what we're talking about, but I do know that I mean, as an Australian, it's pretty clear that the Aboriginal people have been, practicing this kind of thing for millennia. So I think it's very comparable in Australia with the Aboriginals, and they have a very obviously they've had a very deep understanding of all this for a very long time, and we're just coming back to this now. We're coming back to the truth and the knowledge. It's all coming back that was previously covered up, So I'm sure that in your area as well, where you are, there's some comparable stuff going on with the natives, I can imagine, but I'm not too familiar with it.
Well, I know that when I was walking through the woods today, I was trying to, because apparently, from what Rachel Vaughn has described and how to find them, is it's like a circle that the trees shape over an area where nothing grows. And so when you're walking down a dirt road, the trees are kind of like a circle because they kind of overlap and it looks like you're going through a tunnel. So I don't know if a road would be considered a ley line because of the way the trees are hanging over each other. I don't know. So I'm still learning this, but I do know that on my property, to the left of my house, nothing grows there. It's just like sandy. And I think there were trees at one time. The previous person that lived here might have taken them out. And I do every summer, I try to grow grass there, and it's not easy to do. But other than that, I know that the when the earth has ascended, okay, and I don't believe there are any negative ley lines on new earth, and that's where we are right now anyway. So is that something that we should even worry about?
I think it's very important because I do feel that there's a big pull for us. I think many of us are feeling the pull going back into nature, and as just really, it's just pulling us without really knowing why. We just know that it does us a great deal of good being in nature. It feels really amazing. We can recalibrate, we can retank our energy, and the extras. Being able to actually feel the trees and feel the flora and the fauna, actually, beginning to communicate with the flora and the fauna. So I do think that this reconnection to nature is actually it's bringing us back, it's catalyzing us back into unity consciousness, and it's we are a part of nature. These physical bodies that we're in have a very strong connection to the planet and planet Earth. And I think it's part and parcel of the ascension process, I feel.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on that. And I try to get outside as much as I can. And when I'm out there, I do notice the difference thereafter in, the way that I feel. I feel more alive. I feel like just really the happiest girl in the whole USA. I'm sorry, I couldn't help myself.
That's beautiful.
Oh. Okay, but no, seriously, it is really amazing, even if I get 1 or 2 hours out there, because my busy schedule, and that's no excuse. I should just make a purpose of, once a day just to get out there, whether it's in the dark. And now that the snow's out, it's not as dark as it normally is. And it's just been really gloomy here in North America for the past couple of weeks. Like, where's the sun at? Does it exist anymore? So getting out in nature is the closest. And the other thing I did learn is the more you breathe in, the more protons that come into you, and the more light that you come that comes into your vessel. And it's just amazing, the breathing. I notice the difference right away when I'm outside and I start breathing in the air. It's just so refreshing. You feel alive. Now, I know that the both of you have been on some excursions out in the countryside, and can you kind of share a little bit of your adventures in Sri Lanka? Sean, and some of the things that you've experienced?
Oh yeah, like of course. So I spent over a month in Sri Lanka, and it was a bit of a spur of the moment decision because that's how spirit works. And it was really it was quite an eye-opener. It was super interesting, but it was also incredibly challenging. But one of the things that I loved about Sri Lanka is just the nature and the rawness of it. And for example, I was quite lucky, or maybe it wasn't luck, maybe it was a created experience, but I did manage to, as part of that trip, see a beautiful, beautiful leopard that presented itself right at the end of the day when I didn't think I would see one. I really did set an intention to see one, and they're just some of the most amazing, graceful animals. And it kind of walked past me and then walked off. And I did really feel like that animal was communicating to me when it did that. But aside from that, I saw many waterfalls and I went to a lot of the tea plantations. But I think Sri Lanka itself, or any place, or just getting out in nature, one thing that I really enjoyed while I was there is just walking barefoot on the earth. So, a lot of the time we wear our shoes and they've got like synthetic fibers or rubber. And you both can comment on this, but when you actually place your bare feet on the ground or on the dirt or on the soil or on the sand or on top of a mountain or on stone or anywhere connected to earth, I honestly do feel a different type of energy that you connect to, the earth's energy. And I was doing that a lot in Sri Lanka, and I found it incredibly easy to get into that sort of peace energy where the monkey mind is not bothering you. And so I was doing a lot of that, and I just found it amazing. I'd lose track of time, I'd lose track of where I am until my stomach would start to rumble. I'm like, I need to eat. But yeah, nature for me just wins every time. And like Ellen said, I feel like as we learn more about or remember more about who we truly are and the fact that the earth is a living, breathing organism, yeah, these sort of grounding practices just seem to work for me. And nothing actually told me to do this. It literally was a feeling that I had. So I don't know if both of you have tried this or maybe subconsciously tried it, but I'd be interested if you've had similar experiences to know.
Yeah, I love walking barefoot. I think it's so I spend most of my time actually when I'm not in nature in barefoot shoes. I would say I wear barefoot shoes around and then I just take them off when I go in the forest and actually walk barefoot often. So it's a really profound and amazing experience. And I think it heightens your awareness because you can feel not only the vibration of the earth much more strongly, but you can actually be much more aware of the surface under your feet. And it's literally, you're feeling the earth, you're feeling the texture, you're feeling the temperature, you're feeling the moisture, the dryness, the sharpness of the rocks, the softness of the grass or the earth. I mean, there's just so much to experience through the bottom of the soles of the feet, that it changes your experience entirely, comparing to, where compared to wearing anything on the soles of the feet. So I really love doing that. Yeah.
Well, I personally, it's not as extravagant as Sharlanka. Did I say that right? Sri Lanka.
I think so,
Okay.
but I'm not the judge of that.
I actually, after I did all the family stuff on Thanksgiving, I was talking to one of the ladies on Telegram, and I said, "Do you think it would be wrong to go out and start my mulcher up and work in the yard today? Would it upset the neighbors?" And she goes, "Well, yeah, it's Thanksgiving." And then I thought, you know what? I don't care. I can do whatever I want. So I actually went out there and I started working in the yard. And it's cold here, so can't take my shoes off. But being outside and just being and even though it is raking the leaves, and I know mulching them, I hope that's not a bad thing to do to the leaves. But I do plant. I do put the mulch back into the ground. So. I know we have to be careful with Earth's plants and so forth, but these are leaves on the ground. And so my time, I spent maybe probably an hour and a half out there, and just what a difference it makes for me. Because, like you say, the monkey, what is it, the head monkey, where you get all the stuff in your head that just won't constantly, that keeps on going on this, that, and the other thing. And I really try to do my head to heart drop. When I get like that and do some deep breathing, the breathing really helps. But there's so much going on when I have to go to my work a place every day, and that's getting a little bit harder, because it's not peaceful for me anymore. It's becoming not a highest excitement, especially with all the energies that I'm around all the time. And I'm not saying that the people that I'm around are bad. It's just the different energies and all the stuff that's going on. I just want to stop and just be peaceful and just be. And that's kind of how I feel when I go outside. And I really made it a point to take a walk through my community, my neighborhood, to just see what's out there. And I was able to walk through nature, so it was very peaceful. And I'm having a beautiful day. You want me to sing again?
Why not? Go for it.
So yeah, for me now, I will say that I have ran outside in the snow barefooted just to see if I could do it. So does that count, Ellen?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
How was that for you? How was that experience for you?
Well, let's put it this way. It was short-lived, okay? In and out. But it was fun to do. It was like being a kid. Let's see if we can do it. But definitely, it didn't really bother me too much. I mean, it's cold and you can only take so much cold, and then you got to come in and warm up, right?
Yeah, for sure. Do you want to sing or can I do I want to say something?
No, go ahead.
I wanted to just say that it's interesting that we're talking about like how nature's so beneficial and that we're so being more drawn to nature and really using it to recalibrate and all this, but I think with regards to talk the ley lines that we're talking about and these energy lines and portals and so forth, I think that it's we're getting more adept in at feeling these. The more we go outside, the more we go into natural areas, we're becoming more at one with it all, and we can feel and sense these places and these lines and these areas more acutely. I feel I can anyway. Just it's like it just comes with practice. Just intending to go and connect with with the trees or to with the animals or to be able to just like be very quiet in and stand in one position and listen to the birds singing. And you can kind of feel the energies of these lines more and more the more you just go into nature. It's just something that we just don't get sitting in a house or apartment or in a very built up heavy a very built up city area. So anyway, I just wanted to mention that I think we're working with these lines all the time inadvertently without even realizing it, actually.
That's very interesting. So I kind of want to go back to that art piece here in our city. In putting a portal up like that, it just makes me question. And I will hopefully have an opportunity to address this with in Hugh and see what he knows about it. It would be interesting to know. But anything like that. And I think it lights up during, it says from dusk to dawn is what I read. And it doesn't feel good, especially the history of what we have here in in this area. And I don't know if you guys know who Kathy O'Brien is, but she is actually from Muskegon. And she was an MK Ultra mind control, and she has several books on her website. And I did write them down, and I'll share them with you later. But there's just some bad energy I feel from that. I don't think it's a good thing, and it doesn't look to me as a piece of art at all. What are your thoughts, you guys? What would you think if you had something like that, or what would you feel if you had something like that put up in, the area that you live in?
Well, I just think that it's, showing us in plain sight what's actually available to be used for, nefarious acts or just like twisting the energy and flipping the energy over that it can be, it's a natural, these gateways, these portals are very naturally occurring, cosmic structures, as it were, connecting places on the planet and this planet with, other universes and so forth. But it can also be, used to harness energy, which is basically just what's being shown in the guise of art. So that's what I've got to say about it. What do you guys think? What do you think, Sean?
It's so interesting because, I mean, this happens everywhere. And this for me is really like the war that is, happening as we know it. It's like a 99% truth with a 1%, what I refer to, poison apple. And it's so hard to discern and to work out, well, what is actually going on? Is this a dark sort of twist? Or is this some light? And I don't know, this is my experience only, but what I've noticed is even if you look at ley lines, or I live in the UK, so there are many, many churches, many abbeys, auras, stone circles, a lot of different artifacts. And what I feel is it's very evident that a lot of the structures are built on some sort of energy line or ley line, whatever the word is. I think labels can be problematic as well as the English language, but it's pretty clear that some sites have almost been inverted for dark purposes, and there's a very specific reason as to why, something is built where it's built. And to me, that's knowledge that's just coming into the consciousness now, sort of before it. Even, well, for me, I can only speak for myself, it wasn't very apparent. I would look at structures or sites and I'd have a sense of feeling around them, like something might be off, or this is kind of strange how this church has been constructed, or why it's here next to a super modern building, or why is the road structure surrounding it designed in a particular way? And there's never a real definitive, sensible explanation apart from, oh, well, this is just how it unfolded in history. But I find now it's I don't know, I feel like we're all becoming more aware, like what you said, Ellen, around the energy of the earth and why things are placed where they are and so forth. So in terms of that portal, look, I don't know a lot about it. I've seen obviously the image of it, but for me, it's really about like leaning into the energy of it and seeing what comes up. And that's the discernment and using your sort of heart to provide that intuitive guidance, rather than the mind. Am I making sense? Or did I
Well,
just go off on a massive tangent?
no, well said, well said. In regard to the ley lines, something else that I've learned about them is that they are all over the world, and according to some, they are connected to a lot of ancient, locations such as the Stonehenge in England. Do you know of that place, young lady Sean?
Yeah. Yeah, I
Okay.
certainly do. Yeah.
Have you ever visited any of you guys?
I've been there. Yeah. I was there in 2020, I think. It was absolutely incredible. Yeah, I've been there. And
Okay.
Avebury as well.
Okay, so supposedly all the like Mount Shasta, it also talks about Mount Peak, Mount Fuji, the Vatican, Oracle of Delphi, so Aztec pyramids, Bermuda Triangle. So a lot of these ley lines, they're saying, according to some theories or scientists, that they are connected to these monuments. So my question is, when you were there at the Stonehenge, do you feel good energies, negative energies? What, I mean, you just said it was amazing, so I'm assuming that's a good energy.
I just felt very strong cosmic energy, actually. That's how I would describe it. But yeah, I just don't think that there's any coincidence where these structures are built. As Sean said, I fully agree. This is coming into the collective consciousness more and more that there just isn't a coincidence. As to where an abbey or a church is built, or the bigger examples of the like obelisks, or then you've got, of course, huge big sports stadiums. There's no mistake that the energy is used to pick and choose where certain structures are going to be built. And I think the history of Stonehenge is a case in point.
Okay. And another, they were saying also the humming on the same frequencies of Earth's magnetic field in regard to Mount Shasta, Mountain Peaks, and Mount Fuji. And I do also, it says Solomon's Temple. So apparently they share the same type of frequencies in regard to the magnetic field, which I thought was kind of interesting. Yeah, so any of these other, like, has anybody been to Mount Shasta? I've never been to Mount Shasta. I would love to go. I'm thinking a road trip next year, to drive there and go see the MAGA couple over in Arizona. They know who they are if they're listening. So any of you guys been over that way?
I haven't.
Not yet. Well,
No, I haven't either, Robin.
When
I've
you guys
not.
come into the
Pretty soon, I'm sure.
States. Okay, good.
Yeah.
Good,
Gotta go
good.
there.
I know that I was out that way when I was little. I remember being in Arizona. My parents traveled a lot when I was young. I think they were traveling gypsies. Very interesting. But other than that, very interesting about the ley lines. Okay, so as far as frequencies in some of the places that you've gone, outdoors, when you go into nature and you go deep within, do you experience anything other than just frequencies? Any, as one would say, fairies, dragons, that type of thing?
Well, yeah, actually, what I find I experience a lot is I do notice, I don't know what if you guys experience this as well, and I'd love to hear your views on this, pareidolic images, so like rocks or trees or nature, nature entities really that have characteristics of human faces, things like that in them. So I've had some pretty amazing experiences of things that I've seen, and I feel that they're very, very, very interesting and very profound experiences. It's like they're trying to get your attention, bypassing the mind, going straight to your heart, through it's like the symbol is trying to, it's just activating your heart instantly. And it's kind of like a instant connection to the inspiration of source energy. I just find these images really interesting. Have you guys ever kind of noticed a stone with a face or a tree that looks like a man's head or anything like that? Have you guys got anything like that?
Well, personally for me, I have seen faces in trees, and I just thought, okay, are you going crazy? Are you seeing things? What, are you going la la land? But no, I have. I really have. And And it's usually in the trees, you know, the way the trees are shaped in with some of the branches. I actually saw the Grinch Who Stole Christmas. And I know that sounds crazy, but I'm sitting there looking at it and I'm like, okay, am I seeing that or is that just, you know, in my head? Is it possible to see shapes like that in the trees?
Yeah, I
Yeah.
honestly think it's not your head. I think it's your heart trying to alert you to the spirits that are, present there. I've
Very.
seen them in the clouds as well. Have you ever? I used to look, do this as a child. You look up and you see, animal shapes or faces or, and I don't know, as a child, I would really think that they were real and communicating with me, and you kind of lose that as you become an adult. But I have seen them in trees, in tree trunks, in the branches. They almost look like arms, in rocks, even in like river embankments. I've seen, like, with the stone structures on a river embankment. So I definitely feel like it's either earth or, the other spirits in that space operating in a different frequency band almost, trying to communicate with us, or leaving us little breadcrumbs to say, hey, we're here. Please remember. I honestly, that's how it feels. But there, I think there are clues everywhere. I remember, I sometimes go beach combing. And, there are shapes in nature that we have on our bodies. Like, if you turn your hand into like a clenched fist, that kind of looks like a shell. The veins that we have look like the veins on a leaf. Like, I just feel like it's all connected in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, I agree on that. It's very interesting. So the those locations that I was trying to find the word for are actually, I meant to say sacred sites. Okay, so connections to sacred sites. Now, I don't look at the Vatican anymore as a sacred site. That we all know about the Vatican. So why would there be ley lines under the Vatican is my question. Because are there such things as dark ley lines?
I think this is what I was touching on before, Robin, and this is just from my perspective. It's kind of like,
Was
no, it's kind of like, yeah, the 99% positive truth, and then the 1% poison apple. I honestly feel like, because we can't remember, but and maybe some beings can. But the Vatican may very well be an example of where there's an understanding that that is a powerful and energetic place, and
Yeah, that is true.
maybe it wasn't always dark or used for dark purposes.
Yeah, and the other thing too is where they build churches. I do believe, from watching one of the Rachel Vaughn collaborations, she did mention how churches and I guess I think maybe some municipal buildings of some sort build on ley lines that cross each other. And for, I'm going to say, for more energetic frequency, is that why they do that? Or it would be very interesting to learn more about that. I don't know. I'm going to say truthfully, I don't know a lot about it, but we all know about the churches and what they bring forth when people go in there and who they're praying to. And to me, it's like another portal that they're bringing bad energies through. And why would they build a church on ley lines that crisscross each other is bring more of that energy or the frequency in. But then again, we have to remember there's cloned Earth and then there's real new Earth, right? So I don't know. It's all very confusing. And I definitely will be looking into it more because I want to know. I just do. That's just me. Okay, what else you guys got? Anything exciting as far as challenges and experiences in the past couple of weeks in regard to your ascension journey? Anything you want to share? No?
You guys, I think it's, sorry to interrupt you. I just don't think there's one thing. I will say this. I will share how it's occurring to me, you know. And I don't know if you feel the same, so I'd be interested to know how you both feel. But there seems to be an acceleration going on in terms of the amount of energy or the energetics are changing. And I've just noticed that, you know, my sleep has been quite heavily disrupted. I randomly am remembering things so quickly that I'm struggling to even jot them down on a piece of paper, and then in a fleeting moment they just disappear. And yeah, there's just a lot more sort of knowledge coming back online. I've also felt quite exhausted, but then really alive in the next moment. So there's what I think I'm trying to say, just to be succinct, is there's quite like a pendulum swing, or there's quite ups and downs that are occurring for me.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it's just me, or I'd love to know.
Have been waking up every single night, like in between the hours of 3 and 4. And it's like, I just pop up, like somebody said, "Hey, wake up." And I go, I'm looking around and I'm like, "Oh, not again." And so something's going on. I haven't done that in a long time. I used to wake up between the hours of 2 and 4, but now it's 3 and 4. And like last night, I actually slept very well. I woke up, I do believe, at 12, and I started reading a book and fell back to sleep and didn't wake up till 5. But my sleep has been sporadic. I'm feeling very tired. And other than that, I know that my electronics have been being really weird, like getting phone calls from strange numbers. And when I answer, nobody's there. So now when somebody calls, I go, "Hola, hola, ¿qué pasó?" And then I'll stop talking and then nothing. So I just don't bother answering the calls anymore unless it's from somebody I know, you know. And I noticed things on my computer when I'm typing or something, I'll look back and the information that I just typed was gone. I'm like, where'd it go? Wait a minute. I know I just typed that. Just weird stuff. So definitely having some. Oh, yeah, let me share this with you. So my CO2 detector on the wall, I woke up one morning and I walked by it and it was beeping on and off. And I'm like, okay, that's weird. So I took it out and I thought maybe it was the batteries, put it back in, it started beeping. And then I finally just took it off the wall, took it in and said, maybe it's time for a new one. And when I got into Menards, they said, it's broken. You need to get a new one. So I did. And so I've been having things like the light flickering on and off. And I'm like, when I take the bulb out to change it, the bulb doesn't even look like it's you know, usually it gets like a black color in it when it's ready to be changed, unless they've changed them. I don't know. But just stuff like that. How about you, Ellen? Anything odd with you?
Well, yes, all of the above. yeah, more lights blowing, I would say. Weird stuff with the technology, definitely. Yeah, I just think that it's becoming very obvious when, you know, you write a message and it's just gone, or you know for sure that, you know, the AI or the technology has just done something weird. It's just becoming very, very obvious. I think the experience generally, like the life experience, is like Sean indicated, it's very, very intense. There's just a lot. It's just accelerating. So I just feel like everything's going quite fast, and time is very fluid. I don't know if you guys are experiencing this, that things can be very, very fast or very, very slow, just kind of really fluid experience of time. And I just feel like everything's out on the table, the light and the dark, it's the shadow is very obvious, and it's sort of all there to just to be leaned into and looked at and experienced. It's like palette of everything, and all the knowledge is coming back. You know, as Sean was saying, you know, the knowledge is coming back, and it's very it can be really intense. It can be almost sometimes a little bit too much. We have to go, whoa, 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 let's just slow it down a little bit. But it's quite the
Agreed.
shit show at times. But yeah, it is exciting and beautiful at the same time. But like I said, everything's out on the table. So, you know, there's excitement and optimism and inspiration and joy and bliss and love. And then there's, you know, there's also often fear and uncertainty and mistrust
Yeah,
and everything in between. Yeah.
and then moments of self-doubt, and when I start doing that, I go, okay, something that's not coming from me, and then it's time for a head-to-heart drop.
Yeah.
So
Yeah.
yeah, just stuff like that, and you know, just emotional. It's been really crazy. And just real quick, Ellen, I have a listener that wanted me to let you know that she relates 100% with what you just said prior to what you just said.
Oh, lovely.
Okay, so bravo to the T, she says, to the T, she relates. So yeah, it's been definitely ups and downs last week for me. I actually reached out to Sean and both of you actually, because I just kind of felt like, am I losing it? And I mean, this stuff, it's so much, and you just got to remember that none of it's real, and just stay grounded. And go within and just be. And it's not always an easy thing to do, that's for sure. The day after Thanksgiving, when I went to work, I did my timeline crashes before, and I got into my place of employment, and there was nobody there. Like, it was like, where is everybody? I was the only one there. That is so not normal on a Friday morning. It was just, okay, so what happened to everybody on Thanksgiving? Did they eat too much and drink too much and they can't move? What? So that was the thought going through my mind, but it was just really different, like interesting.
Yeah, isn't it interesting how you can have these experiences and realize that your reality can just change in an instant? Like you can literally create, there's just no one around. You're in it, like Q tells us so much, you know, you're in a different dimensional reality. It's just there's nothing in front of your door until you open it. I just really love that because it just describes it so perfectly. And then, you know, 5 minutes later, you'll be surrounded by people. It's really very palpable now. Like it's very clear and obvious that we're going through these different, you know, experiences daily, from minute to minute, hour by hour. It's very, very obvious is all I can say. And just back to what you were saying, you know, am I going crazy and stuff? It's very, very important that we all band together now. You know, this is about collaboration. It's about coming together. It's about holding space for each other, just really being there for each other and supporting each other in this process. I think that's just so important right now.
You
And
are.
I know you both agree with me. I hope you do.
Oh, absolutely. As a matter of fact, there are days when I get up and I am so excited. What's going to happen today out in this crazy world?
I agree. I mean,
What adventure is coming my way today? What kind of challenges are going to be there? So it's definitely an adventure. I look at it as an adventure. And you got to always laugh. You always have to laugh and remember that none of this shit is real, right?
Yeah.
I think we're running out of time. So, you guys, thank you so much for joining. Any last words? I know you want to tell me how much you love me and how much I want to tell you guys how much I love you.
Thank
I
you, Robert.
love you.
Oh, so we will get together again. Thank you to all the audience. Thank you, BBS. There's a lot of reruns with Q today, so I'm a little bummed out that we don't get to chat with the Q, but I'm sure he's on an extended holiday and he well deserves it. That is for sure. So love you all. Thank you for joining me on the Awakening Wave Show, and have a beautiful rest of your holiday season.